Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Our word comes today from John 6:16 to 21. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into the boat and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were frightened. But he said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid."
Thank you, Easter. Awesome. Okay, let me pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We pray, Father God, that as we open up your word, that you would speak to us. May your Holy Spirit reveal himself to each and every one of us. We thank you for the plan that you have for us this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. So, have a seat. So, you see this fella next to me? You want to see this fella next to me? This is our, give a hand for Norman.
Troublemaker.
I don't like the word guest speaker, because he's not a guest, he's a in-house, you know, he's a guy that's planted here. And so, it's so good to have Norman, who's going to be sharing our word this morning. But just before Norman, encourages us from the word, I just wanted to say, a little bit about Norm. He is a pillar in Every Nation, right? Him and his wife, they have been planted in Every Nation, and they are ones that, I think a word that describes Norm is surrendered. He's a guy who surrendered to God,
yeah,
right?
True.
And if you know this guy, you say, "Oh, praise the Lord, he surrendered to God." Because he has such a heart for him and his wife. They serve our children. So they oversee our children's ministry. So you know how that awesome time they have our kids going off. You know, that's East Day Norm. They oversee that, and so it's such a great privilege to be able to have Norm and E just help direct and guide our children, right, at that young age. And so I'm very grateful and thankful for Norm and for both of them, but especially Norm now, stepping out this morning and preaching the word. And his journey is, hopefully you'll hear a little bit about that today, but I'm very thankful for Norm. Can you give him a hand? Welcome, Norm.
Thank you, Pastor Henry, for that wonderful introduction. Good morning, church family. How are you this morning?
Good.
It's funny, how we're talking about that question with regards to the restaurant that, that you want to be eating at and all of that. And so I was talking to Jared over here, and they said, Jared likes Ariella. And his wife said she loves sushi. I thought, oh yeah, all right. We're going for a nice combination there, with the healthy option on the side there. And my response to that was, okay, no one judge me on this one. I said the casino, because see, Levy would laugh. And I said the casino because, it's not only a place that's nice and bright and everything that happens around there. However, they've got multiple restaurants in there. Okay, so I just want to stress that out. It's the restaurants. Okay, guys? All right. Hey, it's been a wonderful journey to be here to be able to share. Thank you, Pastor Henry. It gets a bit dusty up here, so please bear with me. When I mean dusty, for my Pinoy family, tears come from nowhere. I have no control over my tears, and because of that, understand that God continues to work. And so I'm just going to put my glasses on just to try and, distract you all. But enough of that. So I'm just going to quickly recap on what was spoken about 2 weeks ago, which was the feeding of the 5,000. And what a wonderful miracle that was that Jesus had performed, because literally he had only taken 5 loaves and 2 fish, raised them up, prayed over them, and was able to feed a multitude. And not only that, after feeding the multitude, he had instructed his disciples to gather the leftover fragments. And so they did. When they gathered all the fragments, they'd come up with 12 massive baskets. And I just want to recap on verse 14 of chapter 6 in John. When the people saw the signs that Jesus had done, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." So Moses spoke of a prophet, which is the foundation of a messianic expectation fulfilled in Jesus, found in Deuteronomy 18. I'll read the scripture to you. "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen." Having seen these miracles that was performed by Jesus, the crowd themselves were thinking, surely this is the prophet like Moses that he spoke of. And so you all know what Moses did, right? Moses himself led the Israelites out of slavery. And he too, and they were thinking, Jesus will also deliver them from the oppressive Roman rule at the time. Yet they were limited with their scope. So Jesus, knowing everything, he knew that the people understood that Jesus was the prophet, and they were anticipating and wanted to make him come into his role by force. But Jesus, perceiving what they were planning to do, broke up the party by sending the 12 disciples away before withdrawing. In Matthew, it says when Jesus withdrew, he withdrew because he had found out that his cousin had just been decapitated. But in this part, we're talking about him withdrawing just to get away from the crowd. Let us pray. God, I thank you for this opportunity that we're able to share your word. I pray that everyone in this room leans in and hear what you want to tell them. The reassurance of where they are at as a people, as a person, as a child. That no matter what they go through in life, you are there waiting for them to bring them out of their storms. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. So, just starting off with verse 16. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea. Verse 17, got into a boat and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark and Jesus had not yet come to them. Can you imagine what the 12 were thinking when Jesus sent them away before dismissing the crowd? They had just witnessed something amazing where a crowd of 5,000 were just fed from the 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. And not only that, 12 baskets were filled up with leftovers. And so the people, and probably even the 12, had an expectation that Jesus would fulfill what Moses had spoken of in Deuteronomy. And so the disciples take the boat to head to Capernaum without Jesus. And so the trip from where they were, which I believe was in Tiberias, to travel from Tiberias to Capernaum, and it says it was at least 5 miles west from where they were. And so to convert that, it was a 8.5-9 kilometer boat trip across the water. Now, verse 18, the sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing when they rowed 3 or 4 miles. And so the sea at this time becomes rough, and they were still rowing to get through the storm. The text says that they've been rowing for about 3 to 4 miles, roughly 5 to 6.5 kilometers. So that's how far they've been rowing. Mark 6:48 says that Jesus walked on water during the fourth watch of the night, which is between 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. So it's around that time when they saw Jesus. And so that points to how long the disciples were rowing, how long they were in the water, rowing, trying to get to the other side. So it was roughly around 9 hours that it had taken them to get to from land to where they saw Jesus. But they still didn't reach the other side yet. And just to give you a bit of context with the Sea of Galilee, understand that it's a lake itself. And so because the lake is roughly 700 meters below sea level, what happens is cool air comes in off the mountains, off the hills, and it travels down towards the sea. And so when it does that, it displaces the warm air, creating a vortex, which makes you see what it is now, which is where you get those rough waves from. Yeah, to say, Jerry. And so the disciples would now be pretty tired and frustrated because they've been rowing for 9 hours and still haven't made it across the sea. So I think at this time, they would be hungry, disillusioned, and wondering, where is Jesus when we need him? Why has Jesus left us in the storm to fend for ourselves? This is not what I signed up for when we decided to follow Jesus. Verse 19, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were frightened. So in the middle of their rowing, the disciples look up and see Jesus walking on the water, and they were frightened. And probably what's still fresh in their mind was when Jesus had just fed the 5,000 people, right? But it was at this moment when they saw the sea had submitted to him that they realized Jesus was so much more, and that was frightening. But you gotta imagine, you know, Jesus had just performed so many miracles on land, but people still hadn't got in their mind just the enormity of his power. And so it wasn't until when they were in the water and they were able to see him in all his power to quiet the storm. Psalm 77, verse 16 to 19. When the waters saw you, O God, when the waters saw you, they were afraid. Indeed, the deep trembled. The clouds poured out water. The skies gave forth thunder. Your arrows flashed on every side. The crash of your thunder was in the whirlwind. Your lightnings lighted up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your way was through the sea, your path through the great waters. Yet your footprints were unseen. This psalm was written approximately 800, 900 years before this event. And what's interesting is that because the climax of the story is not that they were in the storm rowing for their lives. I'm talking about the 12 here. But that they saw Jesus walking on the water. And that's why they were frightened. Verse 20. But he said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid." Then they were glad to take him into the boat. And immediately the boat was at the land to which they were going. The translation, the Greek translation for when ego eimi is the Greek translation for I am. So you remember where you heard that from? It alludes to Exodus 3:14 when Moses encounters God in the burning bush and Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Even in this frightening situation, God's word brings comfort because of the covenant God has with his people. The covenant that God has with us, that he will deliver them. Yes, he is holy, but he is also near and has come to deliver them. And so just as these words brought comfort to Moses, they bring comfort to the disciples when Jesus speaks them. By seeing him walk on water, they see him in his power and glory. But when he speaks, they are no longer afraid because they know that he loves them and has come to deliver them. And so they are glad to let him in the boat. by seeing this sign and by hearing Jesus' words, they go from seeing him as the Messiah who would be Israel's prophet and king to the Messiah who is Israel's God. On their own, they were striving against the obstacles of the storm. But when God, the Holy One, the Sovereign Lord of creation, comes in their boat, they are immediately brought through the chaos of the waves and safely to shore. Whether this is immediate or a process, because Jesus is in the boat, there is an ease and gladness in the journey. They believe he is God, and when he comes in the boat, they've immediately been delivered through the chaos of the storm. So I've got 3 points that I want to share with you further. It's like you have a choice. Okay, number one, Jesus left his disciples to face the storm without him. Why did Jesus do this? Why? Why did he do this? Remember earlier in that day, right? He had just performed the coolest miracle, turning 5 loaves, 2 fish, to be able to feed a crowd of 5,000 people. The expectation was there that Jesus was the guy that was going to take them out of Israel, was going to deliver them, just like what Moses did. And so because of these expectations were so high, not just for what Jesus would do, but how they would benefit from it, thinking this was now their meal ticket to success and everything was going to get better and easy because of who they were hanging out with. But Jesus perceived the crowd and the disciples' intention and so sent the 12 back to Capernaum alone, dismissed the crowd, and withdrew by himself. Can you imagine what Jesus would have been thinking all while perceiving their thoughts with the crowd and the 12? Now, if it were me, and if I was in that position, I'll be thinking, man, these suckers have no... Oh, sorry. These people have no idea what I'm about. They have no idea that what I can perform. Yeah, they've seen me do these things. Yeah, they've seen me heal people, turn wine into water. They've seen me turn 5 loaves, 2 fish to feed the multitude. But here we are, people. Here we are. All right, I'm going to show you guys. And so, because, you know, at the time, the disciples were rowing, confused, disorientated, disillusioned, and saying, where is this guy? Why isn't he here with us to get us through this time that's where this, you know, you think about it, they're on a small boat. All 12 of them on a small boat. Probably just bigger than a dinghy. Okay, maybe that's an exaggeration, but, you know, you kind of get the picture. And so can you imagine if I was one of them 12? Oh, sorry, guys, I already take up 3 places. So that's 3 of them gone. But anyway, Mark 6:48 tells us that they were still rowing at the 4th watch of the night. Remember? So that was when they were thinking all those thoughts of where was Jesus at this time. And that not only that, they were thinking, this is not what I signed up for. This is not what I signed up for when I decided to follow Jesus. Does that sound familiar to any of you? Hello? Oh man, I ask that question every day. I'm just being honest. The day that you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, not only was that the best day, but at the same time, knowing in your mind that whatever you're going through, you're going to get through it. My question is, has Jesus ever seemingly left you to face a storm alone? Last year, for some of you that don't know, what's happened is that the doctors have discovered something that I already know. I have what they call a big heart. Oh. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. I have a big heart. And so the medical term of that is dilated cardiomyopathy. And so with that, because, you know, at one stage in my life I was fit, healthy, and because it was, I couldn't understand why I have this. I exercised as often as I could, probably could have done a little bit more to be honest. I ate, don't judge me, I ate okay, could be better. But the thing with this condition is that, so it was from March last year, up until this time, I was in a dark place. Even though, you know, coming here, smile and wave, but deep down, just trying to get through this. And so it's a journey right now. Holy heck, Pastor Henry, it's dusty up here, right? And so just trying to get through this situation, along with the support of my family, a lot of the things that you don't see, I dress up to make it look good. Now, I don't know if any of you do that as well, where you're suffering in silence, where you try to do everything on your own, where you try to show strength, but strength is in numbers when you have people who come around to support you. And just like the 12, check this out, just like the 12 who were in the boat at that time, going through the storm, enduring the mad waves, the wind, not only they were together, they were in the boat together, they were able to go through that together. Psalm 77, verse 16 to 19. When the waters saw you, O God, when the waters saw you, they were afraid. Indeed, the deep trembled. I have to repeat this again because the clouds poured out water. The skies gave forth thunder. Your arrows flashed on every side. The crash of your thunder was in the whirlwind. Your lightnings lighted up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your way was through the storm, your path through the great waters, yet your footprints were unseen. Yes, Jesus is the Messiah, everyone, that everyone had been anticipating. But seeing him walk on water, they realized he was so much more. He was so much more. He is the one who on the waters of the earth fear and submit to. He is the Holy One, the Lord of creation. Jesus speaks to them, it is I, it is I, do not be afraid. It is I, do not be afraid. By seeing Jesus walk on water and by hearing his words, they went from seeing him as the Messiah who would be Israel's prophet and king to the Messiah who is Israel's God. If he hadn't left them to face the storm, they would never seen his glory revealed in the storm. And just as Jesus revealed his glory to his disciples in the middle of the storm, often when we least expect it, he will reveal his glory to us in ours. They had a small view of who Jesus was and what he had come to do. How often do we too have that small view of him? And so we have the expectation of him behaving in a certain way. And when he doesn't, we get confused and disappointed and maybe even resentful. But Jesus never fails to show up in our storms. And when he does, he reveals himself to us in ways that we could never imagine if we had stayed safely on the shore. Jesus brings them to safety through the chaos of the storm, transforming them in the storm. They were glad to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land to which they were going. You see, the disciples, they believed he is God. And when he gets into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land to which they were going. He was able to take them through the chaos and the storm to get to the other side. Now, I just want to propose to you, I have a 2-for-1 type of deal for you. Okay, just a 2-for-1, all right? I might throw in a third one. But a 2-for-1, because, you know, this is just an amazing part. And it's just this part, verse 21, that I've kind of isolated because it really spoke to me. And so my first point of the 2-for-1 deal is that not only that this whole process that had gone through in the storm was transformational for them, but here's point number one. It was the presence of Jesus that the storm had calmed down. Just the mere presence of Jesus in chaos. Gone. Just like that. My second point. While all the noise was happening, with the waves crashing, the winds blowing, these guys were scared because they could have died, literally. They had no life jackets. There were no boat instrument thingy, you know, that will direct them, you know, the navigational instruments that will take them from where they had started to where they were going. Nothing. So you imagine that. High waves, waters crashing, scared because of what was happening. They were able to move from fear to faith when they saw Jesus. Faith rose when Jesus was present. Faith rose when Jesus was received onto the boat. Immediately, the boat was at the land to which they were going. Now, I don't know about you, but we've just established the omnipotence, the power of the mere presence of Jesus can cause to the elements that they submit to his power and glory. Check this out. Jesus could have easily snapped his fingers and voila, we're at the other side. We've landed. Because he's God. He's Jesus. He can do anything, right? But it was only possible because of his power and might, right? Scholars say that the boat could have kept sailing towards the land during Jesus' onboarding. But I want to propose to you this. Is it possible that at the time while the disciples' boat was getting smashed from the high winds and rough waters, and at the same time when Jesus appears and says, "It is I, do not be afraid," which brought faith to the hearts of the 12 and removed fear? I want to say this. Not only it was the presence that had risen, that their faith had risen, but is it possible his presence was a distraction from the storm? Oh, Norm, but you don't know what I'm going through. I'm going through this. I've got no money. There's more money than the month. There's more month than money. Oops. You know, I'm struggling financially, my health. Well, you all know about my health now. Because of the mere presence of Jesus, he was able to distract them, move their focus from what was happening to get to the other side. You see, sometimes when Jesus reveals his glory to us in a storm, we are immediately delivered from the circumstances we've been facing. But other times, deliverance isn't immediate, and we must continue to go through the storm. But when Jesus is in our boat, there is tranquility and expectant hope that carries us through the turbulent waters. And just while we're all in, just leaning in and reflecting to what was spoken, just maybe that this word was able to speak to you. A lot of the times, and I've said, I'm able to dress up my struggles. If you were a fly in our wall, on the wall in our house, you would really see the real me. And thanks to my family for dying to themselves, loving Jesus more, to be able to put up with me. This morning, I just want to pray for you that if you're struggling, if you're just trying to find your feet in whatever it is that you're going through, understand that the name of Jesus is Lord over your financial circumstances, is Lord over addiction, is Lord under depression, over depression, is Lord over your marriage. Yeah, we all have struggles, married people, yeah. But right here, right now, Jesus is just waiting. He is just waiting. While you are in your storm, He is saying, "It is I. It is I. Do not be afraid. It is I. Do not be afraid." Oh, but Norm, everyone else sees me for who I am. Then I'm worried about what they think. At the end of the day, we all stand before God Almighty to give an account for our lives. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, looking around in this room, you know everyone's situation. You know the doubt that we struggle with, the fear that we struggle with, temptation that we struggle with, addictions that we struggle with. I want you to come onto my boat right now. I want you to come onto my boat to get me through this time. Through this time of hardness. I pray, God, there will also be healing. Healing will come into the hearts and minds of our people here, of my family, God. For you have called us, not just as a spiritual family, that will be there for each other, but that we were able to pray for one another and help each other through the very circumstances that are holding us back. Lord, we love you. We thank you in your mighty and wonderful name. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.